On the next episode of Sip Suds and Smokes,
the Mirror Twin Brewing Company beers we'll be tasting today are White Girl Wasted.
Oh, yeah.
An ode to Nashville, Tennessee, with their American Blonde Ale. Beasting Honey Hefeweizen. The Oregon Pale. American Pale Ale. Red Blooded American. Red Ale. You, Me, and Mr. PB. Chocolate Peanut Butter Milk Stout. Ooh, gross. Not looking forward to that. Kitten Mittens! Oh, man, that sounds like a Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You guys don't catch that reference? Oh, yeah. That's a porter. And if time permits, we may have a bonus beer or two.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Hey, you, over there in the corner, come on in, sit down. And then you guys too, over to the right, come on in, sit down. Make yourselves at home. This is another sud segment where we figured out that if beer can make people easier on the eyes, maybe it can have the same effect on the ears. Eh?
Hmm?
It's possible. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
So pop in your beer buds and get ready. Who writes this?
I'm here for it.
It's probably AI. Chat.
Thank you, ChatGPT.
Yeah. Okay. I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me at the table today is good old gal Carrie Ann.
Hi. I feel like I just saw you guys.
Maybe.
Happy to be here.
Yay. Good old boy Sparky.
I was always wandering around Sparky, on the street and you guys just kind of let me into your house and I appreciate that.
Some guy with a bow tie shows up at your door. You kind of got to let him in,
you
I think.
Do, right? I was going to sell you a book or two, but you know, I'll take that. Yes.
Instead, he's eating our peanuts.
Can I share the word of Jesus Christ with you?
Have you heard the good word?
Make America pray again.
Yes. Okay. Good old boy Dave, hi.
Are you threatening me? My bunghole will ask the questions.
Wow.
Yes.
Senor Beavis, donde esta halpas?
2024, here we are.
Yeah. And here we are, yes.
I'm still in like 1990.
We got it. You don't even have to say it. Check.
Don't make me play the toadies for you again.
Okay. Today's episode is a brewery takeover. Yay! Mirror Twin Brewing opened up in November of 2023. So very recently.
Very recently.
In Lexington, Kentucky. They have two different tap rooms, all from being birthed in November of 2023.
That's impressive.
Well, right? But remember that Kentucky is about 20 years behind the rest of the country. So really, that's more like 2003.
And they just got, I heard they just got shoes a few years ago, and I'm really, really? Proud of them. Like, they finally made it.
Yeah.
You know, as my second home, I wouldn't let anyone speak about Tennessee that way, and I will not tolerate the Kentuckyism.
Well, that's fine because we'll just talk about Alabama instead.
Kentuckyism.
Can we talk about Alabama instead?
Because I feel Roll Tide because Elite Eight.
Okay.
Anything else?
Wow. Mm. Mm. There she's just like bringing all the bombs, like boom, boom.
Exactly.
Hard slap.
That was last episode of Bombs. Oh, Oppenheimer.
Right. Yes. Bombs. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, they have two different tap rooms and that each have a distinctly unique vibe despite being literally next door to each other.
Yeah, the two tap rooms are next door to each other. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. One of them's a cocktail lounge and the other one's like a tap room.
Okay. There's that. Well, good old boy Dave, since you know so much about Mirror Twin Brewing,
and
why don't you tell us a little bit more?
Well, like most breweries, their website was a treasure trove of information. Okay? Yeah.
You did the deep research.
Let's see here. They are in Lexington, Kentucky, and excellent. Opened in 2023. They have two tap rooms, but you are already covered that. Let's see. Well, one of the owners is a mirror twin, so that's ooh, probably where the name came from. I did find out that they serve a green Bloody Mary.
Dave, could you tell me what is a mirror twin?
A mirror twin is like when you're identical twins, and one of the twins, like your hair parts on the right side, the other twin, your hair parts on the left side. And so your distinctive characteristics.
So it's about okay, the part.
Mm-hmm. It's all about your hair part. Mm-hmm. You might have a facial tic on your right side. Your twin has a facial tic on the left side.
Yeah, no, I
your twin's right testicle hangs a little bit lower. Your testicle hangs a little
no,
bit
no, lower. No, I knew a pair of female mirror twins and yeah, they had...
Which one's testicle?
They were female, but they both had...
A low-hanging boob?
One breast was larger than the other and was mirrored on either side. So, yeah. Oh my God.
That's like a... So how did you... How do you know that depth of...
Pool party? They volunteer...
Pool party?
No.
Okay, just go with party. A pool party.
It's a pool party.
Yeah. That was a pool party. Pool party, yeah.
Yep, that's what happened.
That's all it was. It was just a pool party.
Oh,
there were a lot of people. There were lots of people around. Yeah.
And that Sparky, was the thousand-mile stare.
Sparky, okay.
Sparky was never on the show again.
And okay.
Good thing all right, we should probably listens, move along.
Well, yes. Yeah, so if that's all that we're going to get to, I guess we really just need to move on. Yes.
I like a green Bloody Mary, though. What makes it green?
It's their homemade green tomato.
Tomatilla.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that sounds so good.
Well, so I don't know if they use tomatillas or if they're just green using tomatoes, green tomatoes.
Interesting.
And making it like the unripe tomato, sure, like sort of, you know, like fried green tomatoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, field trip to Lexington.
So, okay. Yeah. Sparky's mirror twins, one of them had an unripe tomato on one side.
And an overripe, yeah.
Overripe.
It was
on
a
the
red
other,
Bloody Mary and a green Bloody Mary.
Just circling back.
Yep. Okay. Well, Sparky,
so they could
speaking
only,
of you.
He could only stare him in one eye at a time.
Yeah. Okay. Enough.
All right. We're done,
obviously, Sparky. For now. Please give us today's lineup, Sparky.
The Mirror Twin Brewing Company beers we'll be tasting today are White Girl Wasted.
Oh, yeah.
An ode to Nashville, Tennessee with their American Blonde Ale. Beasting Honey Hefeweizen for those mirror twins that are a little mm-hmm, bit incongruous. The Oregon Pale, American Pale Ale. Red-Blooded American, Red Ale. You, Me, and Mr. PB. Chocolate Peanut Butter, Milk Stout. Ooh, gross. Not looking forward to that. Kitten Mittens. Oh, man, that sounds like a Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You guys don't catch that reference? Oh, yeah. Is your cat so loud? Try Kitten Mittens. I'm really excited about that. That's a porter. And if time permits, we may have a bonus beer or two. Mm.
Thank you, Sparky.
You're welcome.
All right. Good old gal Carrie Ann, why don't you give us the suds ratings for today?
Ooh.
So I'm going to do this in the style of every Kentuckian I know.
Good.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be discussing and rating these beers with these sips ratings plus our signature belching sounds.
I like how she said sips.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. She's a sips girl. It's all good.
I said
it's okay.
Sips. We and what feel... I meant to say was sips. It's... So here are those ratings.
That was perfect.
Yes. It's sudsy. One. That sucks. Give me anything but a bud. See how that wasn't hick?
Not, no hick at all.
Two. Was that a belch? Also not hick. Three. Oh, what a relief it is. Four. A body really shouldn't make that sound.
It was very cosmopolitan.
Five. Listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Wow.
Carrie Ann, that was really classy, and there was no implied inbreeding. I feel like you really, you know, brought up the Kentucky scene there. Yes. Thank you for
Love you, Kentucky.
There were no web toes in that.
No. It's true. Yes. It's true.
Sixth toes, maybe.
Oh, yeah, fair. Boy.
Fair.
Okay. Watch Let's out. Get to
we should
it.
Probably,
yeah, let's get to it. First one, White Girl Wasted, the American Blonde.
Guess who's White Girl Wasted right now?
What?
Sparky.
It's true, y'all. I've made some bad decisions.
Okay. 5.5% ABV. This is a light and refreshing ale that is easy to drink and easy to enjoy. We use two different malts to give this blonde ale a bit of color and slight sweetness. We also use a unique method of adding hops, which mellows the bitterness and makes the beer smoother to drink. Have a few and see where the night goes.
Unique method?
What does that even mean? Oh, no.
They add a torpedo?
After the beer's cold, they add the hops.
Okay. Who writes this?
They do.
This is
marketing girl that just graduated from the University of Kentucky.
Thank you for the
That you actually sounded like a marketing girl.
You did that well.
Who just It's okay.
It's underwhelming.
That's a good word.
Just like
too.
The marketing girl that just graduated from the University of Kentucky.
You know, and compared to some blonde ales that we've had recently.
Yeah,
sure.
I feel like this one is a little sharp.
I agree with that. Yeah. And there's definitely some, it's definitely not as smooth.
If you look at the color on this.
Yeah.
It's almost clear. So, like, there's nothing malt-wise that would balance out any extra level of hop.
This doesn't taste anything like White Girls I've tasted.
No, I mean, it's
Wait, Sparky.
What had happened was...
Think about this for a minute.
Okay.
And we'll continue in just a minute.
We're going to go into the break on that note.
Welcome back, everyone. So today we're doing a brewery takeover. We haven't done one of these in a bit.
A couple days.
And this is Mirror Twin Brewing in Lexington, Kentucky. So the beer that we started talking about before the break.
I knew you would love that, dude. I knew you would love that.
You're not even old enough to love that.
We just love everything here. Is White Girl Wasted, the American Blonde Ale. And we had some thoughts. Yes.
Oh, we did.
Yes. And honestly,
they were shallow.
Yeah. It's just, there's this little bit of astringency and this like almost vegetalness that is just a little odd.
It's not really balanced. There's something quite off.
I think they tried to make it too light.
Maybe.
And so by scrimping on the malt bill, and maybe they sparged a little too high. I don't know what they did, but there's not enough malt in here to make this beer balance.
Yeah, with the hops.
Yeah, for certain.
Yeah,
because that's all you're getting is just the hops. And for a blonde, that's kind of wild.
It's like a hop water.
Yes.
I mean, okay. If you're a wasted white girl, you might drink this, I guess. But yeah. Probably low calorie.
Yeah. That's what we have to say. It's probably low calorie.
Okay. We are going to rate this a 2.
Generously.
Okay. Now we're going to go to the Bee Sting Honey Hefeweizen. And this one actually has a special story.
Oh, cool.
As soon as I could find this story.
It also has a special little
name. There was a guy who came to the brewery a lot, and he gave them the recipe. It was a family recipe. And then he passed away a few years ago.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
They started No.
Okay.
Keep it in. Once it's inside, it has to stay inside.
That's what she said.
Okay, so this Hefeweizen is 6.5% ABV. Now, spring has sprung, so to speak. And this is their first spring seasonal release, which is a fan favorite. And it's been adored by locals, I guess, for the last 5 years.
What?
Which they just opened last year, so
I'm very confused.
Yeah, that is a little slightly confusing. So it has classic Hefe notes with banana and clove stemming from the yeast.
It's actually a pretty nice little Hefe.
Yeah, on the nose, absolutely banana and classic Hefe notes.
And then on the finish, I'm getting cardboard.
The finish was weird for me too. That was the one place.
It would make me want to keep drinking it to avoid the finish, because I like all the things.
Problem until solved.
The wet cardboard.
That's a good marketing ploy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like the clove kind of goes off the rails at the end.
Yeah, that's that. Yes.
Because a clove is there initially, and you get it, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay. Because
usually when you have a Hefe, you get that on the nose, you have it on the initial palate, and then it's just kind of whisks away. And they usually finish kind of grainy on a Hefe, but this, the clove just goes for days.
Yeah. It just keeps going.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I'm not getting as much of the honey, though.
No.
Okay.
I'm getting mouthfeel, though, wise.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's there in the weight, but it's not on the palate at all.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, I think there's so much other stuff going on. It may be that you just can't pick it out.
Yeah, and I just wonder if it's a really strong yeast strain that's doing this.
I think that's what it is, because, I mean, I've had honey Hefeweizens before, and you kind of get that nice, bright sweetness of the honey. End. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right. That kind of softens the floral
kind of, yes, and not at all in this.
I think you just have to, they have to dial this one in a little bit better.
It's a great idea. I mean, I've had plenty of honey Hefes in my life before, but this is one of them.
Right. Right. Okay.
This is one of the Hefeweizens I've had.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So we are going to rate this a 2.
All right.
Okay. But I have hope.
It's uphill. It's all going to, we're going up from here.
Yeah. Man. I mean, this is exciting.
We got a couple out of the way.
Because just let me tell you, the can label of the next one.
The concept behind this next one
gets a 20.
Yeah. It's going to get an extra point in the rating.
Until you die of dysentery.
Regardless of what it tastes like, it's going to get an extra point off the top.
That's true.
Okay. Yes. Yes. That's true. But before that, we get to the next beer. It is story time.
Oh, I love story time.
Today, good old gal Carrie Ann has a story for us.
Tell us a story. Maybe keep your tongue off the toads.
What?
Yeah. So the National Park Service recently asked visitors to please, please, please stop licking the toads.
Okay.
Stop it. That's already a good stop.
Yeah. You know what? Just stop.
Wait, are they looking for princes?
Well,
I'm not sure that was about.
I don't think that's how. I don't think that's how you got a prince to come up.
As we say with most things you come across in a national park, whether it be a banana slug, an unfamiliar mushroom.
Don't put it in your mouth.
Or a large toad with glowing eyes in the dead of night. Please refrain from licking.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
National Park Service PR is on top of this. So licking the toads is not the way most people go about getting the super secret substance out of them, but sometimes you can dry it into crystals and smoke it.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Really?
Who
knew?
It's got
a name. It's got a
Never saw that on Facebook Marketplace.
Wow.
Yeah. So licking the toads is a thing that the Park Service has seen as a problem, which means they're out in the dead of night watching you lick toads. What's more embarrassing?
You think the toads
licking a toad
complained?
Or getting caught licking a toad?
You think like they figured it out because the toads were complaining? Like, hey, look. All right.
Rude.
I'm living in this park, yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm doing my thing.
I'm just trying to live my life.
Yeah.
Hopping along.
Freaking hippie with dreadlocks comes
Here comes
up.
A big tongue at me.
Yeah. You know. They're not even licking the...
Trustafarian.
They're licking the part I don't like, you know. I mean,
oh.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, wait. Is that how that works?
Yeah. I mean...
Oh.
You know,
oh.
I mean, oh, I didn't...
Well, you know.
I mean, I...
If someone was going to lick you, would licking your back be what you would choose?
How do you know that's where they're licking? Are they licking the back?
Like, is that not where the place?
Are you sure?
Grab the toad.
So this toad is also known as the Colorado River toad and is found primarily in the Sonoran Desert in the southwestern U.S. and northwestern Mexico. And they're worried about this animal being in danger due to all the licking.
The lickery.
Its main predators are raccoons and, you know, roadkill. But this recent licking epidemic, pandemic,
sure.
I don't know.
I feel really positive about them. I think they'll take a licking and keep on ticking.
Oh. But, I mean, think about it. Like, so you're trying to fend off raccoons, right? But then some hippies come by and lick all your poison off.
That's so, I mean, I spent so much time generating that poison.
In order to get the toad to release
the stuff,
toxin, then the hippies are brushing under its chin as you might a little kitty cat.
Like, hey,
buddy. I think they would enjoy that.
And the toad's like, I don't really remember asking you to rub under my chin.
Oh, so there was not.
Oh,
there was no consent. It was a consensual issue.
Unwanted touching.
Yeah. And so then they go, and they put out the poison. And then the hippies like scrape it off of them and go sell it on the market.
Oh, it's just not a lick it and you scrape it. There's scraper. You go.
Because you can only lick so much.
Wow, we're going to save that.
How many licks does it take to get to the center
of a toad?
Yeah. I think we learned a lot today.
So hippies,
have a lot to think about.
This is a message.
Stop licking the toad.
This is a message to all the hippies. No means no. Okay?
But
and
also,
stop licking toads.
The hippies call the licking experience a God molecule.
Wow.
Oh,
okay.
So it's so potent, it's compared to religious experiences such
as... The more you lick, the closer you get to God.
You know, I felt the same way...
I've heard that from a few people.
You know, I felt the same way at the kiddish lunch after services today. That bagel with the smoked salmon on it, that was the God molecule
Sparky
right there.
Well, the Park Service says, keep your tongues off the toads. We'll all be
there. There you go. I think that's a good... message for all the kids out there.
Keep your tongues where
they
belong.
Tongues off the toads.
Because like how many people are going around licking toads that don't produce this stuff? So now you're just tasting toad.
Yeah. You're not even getting the good stuff.
Yeah. You're not even getting high. You're just licking a toad.
Yeah.
At that point.
I mean, toads need love too.
Well, they need love, but not tongue love.
Well,
moving on.
I mean, okay. And now back to the beer, folks. Yeah.
Too much information.
Reverend Mark, you are so right.
God bless you, Reverend Mark.
So right. All right.
Happy Easter.
Let's go to the Oregon Pale.
All right. So, Sparky, tell us what this can says to you.
It reminds me of elementary school and or middle school and
I'm gonna
deciding
have to
how much ammo or medicine you have to buy to keep from getting dysentery.
All right,
how
Carrie.
Long did the Oregon Trail exist? Because I remember doing it in like kindergarten, which would put you in the womb. So,
I mean, it was the 80s. It was like an early 80s thing.
Was it still, were we still Oregon trailing in the...
Yeah, I mean, I think it continued for...
I think by the time he got it, it was a classic video game.
Oh, wow. That's hurtful.
We only had like cursors and we had to type things.
Yeah, we didn't have a mouse. You're on your Apple II.
Text-based game. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it's amazing. I mean, yes. But again, hopefully we will not die of dysentery by drinking this beer. Yes. That's my whole hope
here. You enter a swamp. And
right? Because on the label here, it does say a quarantine has left the wagon full of beer. You may.
One.
Drink beer.
Two.
Drink beer.
Three.
Drink beer.
Four.
Drink more beer.
God. I think I'm going to try this beer.
I think we're going to try this beer. Yeah.
It smells nice.
Oh, my.
I think we hit a winner here.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I was really starting to worry about this takeover until I had this.
Okay.
Thank you for dialing back to those Apple II days of the early 80s.
Because also Apple, Granny Smith's.
It's good when you invest in the beer and not just the beer label.
Yes.
That's true. And
but also.
But if you can do both.
Good hops.
Yeah.
And Simcoe and Simcoe and Citra.
But just, also, like, the malt backbone of this is solid as heck.
Oh, God,
like,
yes.
This is
dialed in.
Yeah, this is super dialed in, and good job, guys.
I love
it. Right, Meritwin, you found your calling.
Yeah, and I mean, thank you for appealing to those early Apple II graphics. God bless you.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, this is
tasty. There a Pong beer?
I mean,
I'm sure there is somewhere.
There's got to be a Pong beer.
What would it be, though? It would
Pong.
Yes, I know that, but what style beer?
I mean, I think
beer?
That was the only...
But, like, what style beer would it be?
Ping.
West Coast IPA?
Would it be?
Sure.
I think it would be, like, Schlitz. I don't know. It might be a Schlitz.
Oh, wow. Like a light American lager.
This is one of the most delightful beers I've had in a minute. It is just very refreshing.
Yeah.
You definitely get the Simcoe and just this great kind of resinous, but not too much, right?
It's really it's so balanced.
Balanced out and just perfect.
What's the ABV on this again?
The ABV is 5.3.
Oh my God. That's so good. Just
there's a lot going on for that.
It's hard to tell with the pixelated.
the font.
I'm wondering if other cans have other scenes from the Oregon Trail.
That would be cool.
I'd be fine with that.
That'd be too good.
Actually. Yeah, you've only got 800 pounds of bear meat. How much
they
can
should
you
make
take?
A series. Yeah.
Yeah.
The stout.
This is delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I would go. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a solid 4. Solid 4.
She's trying to go 5.
I like this one.
All right. Now let's go to the red-blooded American red ale.
America.
And honestly, kudos for bringing a red ale. Mm-hmm. Right?
I mean. Yeah. We've been a dearth of that.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So the this is 6% ABV.
Wow, that's pretty boozy for red ale, right?
It's a real red-blooded American.
Medium-bodied, delicious ale makes you want to yell out,
"America!"
America.
Thank you.
See,
America.
It has a beautiful red color with just enough hop bitterness to play perfectly with the malty goodness. This is a great beer for people who are ready to graduate from a blonde and get ready for more serious brews.
That's what I'm saying. Graduate from the blonde. Come to the redhead, y'all.
There you go.
Here's what.
And there's something to be said for that, you know?
I like this beer, actually.
I like it too, but I mean, I definitely can tell the booze is a little bit... A little bit in there, but delicious.
And it's weird how we're saying boozy at 6%.
But I know that is a little bit odd.
Well, like you have those beers that are like 7, 8, 9%. You're like, oh, it doesn't taste like that, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, well, I could get in trouble. Well, this one's like, I'm letting you know right up front.
You're going to get in trouble.
Yeah. I'm going to smack you
because it's a redhead. Because
it's
I'm spying the whiskey again because this needs a whiskey.
All right. What would you... She's thinking about it. All right.
I am. I'm like,
she's going through a whole mental calculus right now. It's amazing. All right.
So while she's thinking, Sparky, what food would you pair this beer with?
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with this being a red ale.
Yeah. I would love to have this with some shepherd's pie. I feel like that, like, yeah. Like, I'd love to have a little bit of a combination of lamb and beef. And I know traditionally we just got off of St. Patrick's Day and you kind of think of Guinness and that sort of thing, but also harp, right? And
yeah, sure.
But I feel like that would be just so great balancing those pieces out.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Something deep and meaty. Yeah.
I can. Yeah. With a lot of umami going on there, this would just ping right off.
I would almost also pair this with a dessert, you know, like something, something chocolatey and. Like
I'm here for that.
Equally of depth of flavor, you know,
yeah. Like
very rich, because I think this would kind of cut through some of that.
For sure.
Well, speaking of which.
What do you think, JD?
Carrie Ann has a little.
Teensy tiny.
Yeah. 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 We're going to try a little bit. Grab a couple of
they don't make
cups.
Those anymore.
I know, right?
Man.
The things we do for this show.
I will tell you that I happened upon a case of that once in 2013.
What?
Yeah. They were selling them for $17 a bottle. I'm really disappointed I did not buy multiple cases of that.
Oh, wow.
In the olden times.
Well, yeah. You can get it on the secondary now for like $400,000.
Oh, stop it.
Oh,
I got
some. Oh, you do? Okay.
Teensy tinies. Okay.
Are we gonna do it now? Okay, folks.
Oh, wow.
If you're catching up with us, we're gonna take
it was just a hunch.
This is a short, squatty.
The red blooded American
and an old school
with an old school Weller.
In the short squatty bottle.
So this is a Weller 107 in the red label.
Yes.
I just had a hunch on this.
Yes. Okay. We're going to tell you what it's like after the break. Welcome back, everyone. Whew. So today's episode is a brewery takeover of Mirror Twin Brewing Company from Lexington, Kentucky. Right before the break, Carrie Ann had this ingenious idea.
She's so smart.
Of combining the red-blooded American red ale with some old school Weller 107.
Mm, also red label.
Yes, also red label. Red with red.
Mm.
And
I'm a redhead.
And Carrie Ann's a redhead.
And also, damn.
So, the consensus is?
It doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be the best pairing we've had in a while. Yeah. No, it's great.
Yeah.
Everything just flows like
plays off each other
seamlessly. Yeah. You know.
And for those of you that don't think that beer and bourbon or whiskey for that matter can go together,
they don't know.
They really can.
You're so dumb.
They really, really can.
There's a reason a whiskey back is a thing.
Yes.
No.
Exactly.
Oh,
this is front. Yeah. This has to be in the front. This isn't like one behind the other. These are a pairing. You got to get it all in there.
Side by side.
It's almost like a mirror twin.
Almost like a mirror twin.
Mm-hmm. Except yes. One of them.
Except for both equal size.
Except one twin is like 6% and the other twin is like, you know,
47.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, so. Percent. Correct.
50, you know, 53
it's
and a half.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Close
yes.
Enough. In beer math, it's close enough.
Yes. Sure. Okay. So, but speaking of red ales, this isn't bad.
It's a nice red ale. It's chocolatey, a little roasty. Yeah, it's good.
And I like how they say that this is like the marriage between going from an IPA or a blonde or something like that, and then like sort of dipping your toe into what can be darker and murkier and deeper and richer.
Because people are afraid of malt, right?
Right.
Like you can't have a malt, you can't have a darker beer unless you throw in a whole bunch of adjunct flavors, you know, candy bars and all that stuff.
Don't get but between me and my hops.
Yeah.
Right. You know, or my lactose. Yeah.
Or something scary. Yes.
All right. So we're going to
I was like a 4 on its own, but with the Weller.
It's a 17. Yeah. It's a 17.
So you know what? We're going to rate the pairing.
I'm going to go.
Okay.
And so it's the pairing?
A 5.
12.
It's a heck of a miracle.
If we can. Yes. And this is why we bring Carrie Ann to the table.
Yes. Occasionally.
Yes, yes, yes. Yum, yum, yum. Okay. Now let's get to you and me and Mr. PB.
I'm not mad at this.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, it smells like peanuts.
I think you just got to pull out like
putting a peanut in my mouth.
Fireball / screwball shot. And then this is. Yeah, no.
I have okay. I'm just gonna come out here.
Cinnamon
real quick.
Toast, peanut butter.
A popular opinion.
Now, granted, this is only 5.6% ABV. Okay, so chocolate peanut butter milk stout.
So, I mean, adding peanut butter as an adjunct to a beer can be. There's lots of ways to do it, and sometimes it can be a disaster. I just want to go on record. I'm not a peanut butter fan. I'm just not. I know that puts me.
You son of a. Get it.
Yeah, I know. But.
Is it because of the floor peanuts?
It is. It all comes back to that. Traumatic. I was abandoned at a Logan's Roadhouse.
He woke up on.
That's where my family found me as a baby.
He woke up on a
rolling
bed of
around
peanut shells.
A pile of peanut shells. But. I'm one of those weirdos where like look, I'll eat a Reese's peanut butter cup. That's great, but it's not like something I seek out. I'm kind of meh on peanut butter, and the whole like screwball thing, like I find offensive, frankly.
It is
sure. Yeah.
This
I think we
this
can all
is
agree.
Actually kind of nice, and I'm embarrassed to say that. Yeah,
yeah.
Don't be embarrassed. So like the peanut flavor on this beer, the peanut and chocolate flavor on this beer is really well balanced. I don't like the body on it. I think it's a little too thin. Mm. But at 5.whatever%, I can live with it. I think this is a really well-made, nice.
Yeah, this is 5.6. I mean, I think honestly, if they beefed up the malt bill a little bit more, maybe
to come along
added
with it.
Added some oats maybe to make it a little bit creamier, you know, and thicker. Maybe, but yeah. I love their base. Yeah, because it's not that astringent, fake peanut butter oil taste that you get
or
sometimes.
Or the powdered.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Where you know that it's fake.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, it's just enough. The peanut butter's floating on the top.
It
like,
feels
you know
right.
It's there, but you're not overwhelmed by it.
But it still like has enough of the peanut, like it's coating your mouth. It's not like a heavy mouth feel, but it's like, I think it's
just
it's
enough there.
It's fine. I like it.
Okay.
This is, I mean, and I was worried at first.
It's just fine.
It's the greatest compliment I've ever been given in my life. You're fine.
It's just fine.
You did okay.
You're
good, buddy.
You check the boxes.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
It's not like super viscous, but it is like mouth coating in a way that
it is.
Like, could substitute that.
You get some
but you're not just getting like
lips.
Peanut butter oil mouth mm-mm. coating. You're getting some chocolate in mm-hmm. there too.
For sure.
Yeah.
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 You put your chocolate in my peanut butter.
Yeah. Kudos, man. Dude,
I'm so catching that.
That commercial.
That clip, yeah.
Yeah. From our childhood.
No, that's
going to
be a clip.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. We're going to have to. Yeah. Okay. So we shall rate this.
Oh. Okay.
A 4.
Look at us. Wow.
Look at these guys. I mean, they started out struggling.
And now
we're getting there.
We're into 4 territory. Okay. Now we have to go to the kitten mittens.
Wait, do we have that?
Do we have that beer? I don't think anyone's.
Oh, it's right here. Oh.
It's coming.
I've it's yet coming. To pour it.
Well, we found the new Reverend Mark of the show.
Wait a minute.
Okay, so
those are big shoes
that we're going to talk about is a 6% porter.
Okay.
They're classic porter returns. interesting because I just opened
it. Is your cat too loud?
I'm confused about your research.
Now, this beer is so cool. Well, there's a really cool story behind this beer.
I know, and I'm going to speak. Thank you.
Julie's going to
talk. Okay. A medium-bodied beer with a malt-forward aroma and taste. Slight chocolate notes and hint of roasted grain shine. Not too sweet and not too bitter. This is a very balanced beer. We teamed up with the Working Cat Project this year, which is dedicated to giving feral cats a second chance at life. Through spay, neuter, and relocation to safe barn homes across the bluegrass. And a portion of the proceeds will go directly to them.
I think that's awesome. Like,
yeah,
like cats that you don't want in your house.
Not the wild cats.
Well, so some feral cats.
Okay.
Feral cats.
So the name of this beer comes from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, he's sure.
Yeah. 100% positive. So Charlie Day comes up with a thing for his cats where, like, is your cat too loud? And he puts like these little mittens on the kitten and they fall off of the tape. Like the cat can't walk with the mittens on. And yeah, it's fantastic. I despise cats. I know.
What?
You've allowed me in your home so many times.
Who are you?
I know. I'm a dog person.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, doggy style. That's what he likes.
Okay. So.
But I support this project and what it's doing.
Keep it down, Dave. So here's what.
Yes, ma'am.
You either love animals or you don't. So you can't love dogs and hate cats. And we're done with you. But moving on. Kitten, mitten.
Yeah.
It's light, but it's also like,
you know.
And again, we came from the peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. Not like
this.
Right.
Not light. That's a pretty big sea change.
And I don't know if this is the correct order, but I didn't make it.
But I think that.
I know.
I mean, honestly, I really like the idea that this like helps cats out. You know.
No, seriously. You know,
I'm not being facetious. You know. I'm being serious. Yeah.
You know what
them.
I feel pairs well with
I
a kitten
hate cats,
mitten
but
is
I'm
Mr.
I'm
PB.
Cool with them having a job, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of could go back and forth between those two beers.
The peanut butter and the okay, all right.
Because this is a palate cleansing.
This is a
but
nice,
not far
easy.
Off.
It's not super chocolatey or anything. I think it's a decent porter. I think it's so. And I hate to do this. God,
what are you
dang
doing?
I hate to do
what's
this.
Going on?
Uh-oh.
To quote good old boy Mike.
Oh, no. Can we veto? Veto.
Raspberry is my veto. Favorite adjunct.
The sign of a good porter is like check it against like a Tootsie Roll. So that sort of like sweet, chocolatey kind of taste. And I think this has enough of that.
Do you get a bonus every time you mention his name?
No. But if I did, it would be like every other minute. Now, do I get a bonus in my heart for ripping on him? Yes.
Every time.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, cool.
I don't know where that went, but yeah. So there's some nice Tootsie Roll notes in this.
There is some Tootsie Roll that you would expect out of a porter. I mean, this is easy, and maybe I'm liking it a little bit more because of what we just came off of with the Weller.
With the Weller. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm still digging it though.
Porters, I don't mind it.
Porters aren't supposed to be offensive, right? And this is not that.
No, and I mean, I feel like, again, as we venture more into the darker beers, like, I feel like porters always, like, nobody stops there. They go straight to stout. Or worse, stout plus 1 million adjuncts, right?
Right.
If you can make a straight porter, like, God bless you. Like,
and
you did it.
I making think they've done it well.
Yeah,
I can only make gay porters, but I really do appreciate a straight porter.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how you tip them. And
sure.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, like, a good porter is like a good pale ale. You know, because everybody wants to go IPA.
To the extremes.
Yeah.
Right? Right. So like you're saying, like stout, everybody wants to go IPA.
Yeah,
so
stealing your stylistic.
Right in the middle.
That's a great, Dave, that's such a great point.
I'm the smartest person.
You are, man. It's because of your hat. That is an amazing hat, by the way.
Oh, she just fell out of her chair. That's
cool. Okay. And that means I win.
Okay.
Okay, what do we want to rate this dog?
Oh, we're going to rate this. A 4.
Kitten.
Yes.
Kitty, kitty.
Okay. We have time for a bonus beer.
Oh.
So what you have in front of you is...
I have two in front of me.
So you should give one to...
Oh, one of those is yours.
Do I have a bonus?
You do.
Is this a bonus?
You have a bonus.
Okay. So this is called Most Deaf.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I like Most Deaf.
It's an IPA. This is fantastic IPA with a...
Oh my God, that label just hypnotized me.
Yes. That utilizes the fruity and citrus wonder of Mosaic hops.
Oh.
Mosaic's my favorite.
Although generally hard to get, we made sure we got our hands on these hops to make this beer. This is a 7.5% ABV IPA.
Just smell it on the nose because you're getting so much sweetness and grains and it's not overwhelming.
Where else would you smell it?
Well,
wow.
There's that.
What about I will talk to you about the kittens. Yeah.
Honestly, this brings out a side of Mosaic that you don't see too often.
Tell me more.
The dark side.
No.
Where she was...
That citrusy... But you don't, there's something special about this.
She was hurt early and often.
Oh.
Oh.
Nope. Oh.
Carrie Ann found it.
Mm-hmm.
She found Mosaic's other side.
Mm-hmm. This is quite.
There's a tea but the quality thing, to this.
The thing tutti is, frutti. What's that gum? The tutti frutti.
Oh, fruit stripe gum?
Yes.
Yes. But it lasts for 5 seconds.
The thing about Mosaic that you normally get is you're going to get lots of citrus, right?
Sure.
Well, citrus and melon.
But there's also this blueberry aspect to it that you don't get.
Blueberry.
But I'm getting that.
From here?
Yes.
So you can get antioxidants from this beer.
So it's basically cool. it's a health food.
Drink. Sure.
Yeah, totally.
Love it.
No, but I'm getting a little bit of the blueberry side of the hops.
I
get that.
I'm trying. I can't.
Okay.
I like it. Maybe a little of the tartness. Yeah.
You don't have to get the same thing.
But I like what they, however they managed the hops.
Yeah, I think
it works.
It's
and it makes it a little unique.
It is, and there's, I'm really getting like a stone fruit kind of thing from it.
Which one?
The stoniest.
Like, are you talking like nectarines?
No, like a.
Apricot?
Plums?
Yes, apricots. Apricot. Yes, okay. For sure.
That is the stoniest of all stone fruits. No, that's science.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been studies that have proved that.
Done that study. Yeah. So what are we going to do?
Consensus.
We are going to rate the Most Deaf a 4.
Thank you, Most Deaf.
Wow. You know, this was a really interesting... Brewery takeover.
It started,
shaky,
man.
It did, and I was really concerned, but I'm so happy. Hey, guys, you pulled it out, and being open for
open for less than 6 months, but 5 years of acclaim. I mean, that's a special skill set.
Well, it is. I mean, and what we had that was good are beers that usually take a long time to get dialed in.
I think what I learned is that Kentucky has unlocked the secret of time travel.
Mm.
Wow.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a flux capacitor involved.
People love their beers for 5 years. They've only been open for 4 months. I mean, you know.
You learn.
Fair. That's fair. Good old girl, Carrie Ann. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me twice.
This was great. And the best way to reach you?
Straight up 615 in all the places.
Good old boy, Sparky. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here today.
Good old boy, Dave.
He's always here.
Oh, yes. This is good old gal, Juliana. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.